This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Live, you can join the show here and bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you here tonight is Ian.
And Aria.
And Mark.
I actually had a related story to the whole FBI, the latest revelations that they're continuing to violate people's rights on a flagrant basis, and of course not ever going to be held accountable for it. I got something related to that. Plus, we got the Coinbase trying to turn the tables on the SEC, apparently. Aria's got some information about that, and we're going to go to your phone calls first, though. Major Payne is on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I think all this FBI spying you're talking about, this all goes back to the Patriot Act, if I remember correctly. They give these things such fun names, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, Mark, last night, I tell you what, you said you quit drinking coffee?
I haven't drank coffee in 20 years.
Well, he drinks decaf. He drinks a lot of decaf.
The way you and Bonnie were going at each other, it sounded like you had a double... She is a double cappuccino for you. I was on air for like 15 minutes. I think I got in 5 or 6 sentences.
There's an old running joke, but that's how it is on Free Talk Live.
Like a howitzer, dude.
It sounds like it was a good episode. I mean, Ian mentioned that the show prep that they led off with, they never got into. And those are always the most dynamic and lightning-filled shows. So,
yeah,
I missed it.
I was waiting for him to get to the whole FBI thing myself last night, but he never did.
Yeah, never did.
Anyway, I got one out of Connecticut. They just passed a bill into law where, let me see if I can recollect this correctly. They're not going to discriminate against minor attracted people.
Who's not?
Now, that sounds to me like fuzzy language for pedophilia is now legal.
When you say they aren't going to discriminate, who's they?
The state of Connecticut.
And what would that mean to discriminate against them? Like, you know, they're not gonna...
I do not know. That's what I said. This is very fuzzy language.
Gotcha.
Maybe you ought to pull up the bill because I might not have the wording correct. This is just something I remember hearing a couple days ago.
Okay.
But
yeah, I've heard this too, and I haven't looked into it. I honestly haven't. I mean, what to me it sounds like is there's a lot of news out there that's bait, right? It's just they dangle it out there, and then the liberals will jump for it, and the conservatives will jump for it, and like you can hear it, and I just don't believe it. I find it very difficult to believe that any legislative body would be so breathtakingly stupid as to pass anything intentionally. I certainly could believe that they could pass something unintentionally, intentionally that says, we are not going to discriminate against minor attracted people.
I pulled up the result, pulled up the search engine, right? And what I got is from ConnecticutFamily.org, which is absolutely a Christian organization. So take it with a grain of salt.
CatholicVote.org.
Yeah. But it does appear that it would expand the anti-discrimination laws because you can't discriminate against people for their gender identity or their sexual orientation. It would expand that to people who are attracted to people who are under the age of 18. And I would argue, I realize this is going to upset people, that that's an unnecessary extension. Because discriminating against someone because they find 15-year-olds attractive is, by definition, discrimination against their sexual orientation and their sexual preferences. And it's already illegal.
Yeah, this seems like a signaling move, and the major is correct that it has passed the House as of May 9th. It has not yet been heard by the Senate, so it is not yet necessarily a done deal.
It does not legalize pedophilia. It does not legalize dating anyone under the age of whatever their age of consent is there. All of that remains perfectly illegal. It just means if you're in a, if you're working at a place and some 16-year-old or 15-year-old or whatever comes in, you're like, man, she's hot. They can't fire you over it. Which, well, I got to be honest, I work in a place where some of the ages of these people are questionable, and I thought this one girl came in, she was like 25. She was 17. Oof. Now, that's above the age of consent here in New Hampshire, but me and a coworker, my home, man, wow, she is hot. And then, and then some one of our high school students who worked with us goes, yeah, she's a sophomore. I went, okay. Yeah. Retracted, withdrawn. She's no longer hot. But then she was still hot.
Well,
but being hot and being actionable are two entirely different things. And we can't pretend like they were. Like, if you see a hot 18-year-old, oh no, it turns out she turns 18 in a week. Suddenly, you're a devil. You're a demon.
Yeah,
you're evil.
Doesn't make
it's
any
absolutely
sense.
Insane.
But that said, I mean, the libertarian perspective on this, Major Payne, is that you should be able to discriminate. That if you hear somebody saying something that you don't like, whether it's them at a job that you are the boss at, or whether you're you've got a house that you want to rent out and you just don't want a certain type of person in that house, you absolutely should be able to discriminate. And that is the libertarian position. Now, that doesn't mean that it's always the right thing to do, but, you know, we should be able to know who's discriminating out there rather than have them hide it, because there are some people who are very, very nasty as far as their beliefs are concerned, and, you know, they may want to discriminate against somebody based on the color of their skin or whatever. Let them do that. Let's get the word out that this restaurant owner doesn't like black people or whatever. You know, you fill in whatever the intolerance is, and let's let the marketplace punish that person rather than forcing them to hire people they don't want to hire.
I would also like to add that I don't support discrimination against people, obviously, and I don't support being attracted to minor attracted persons. And I wish that this was not the hill that libertarians so persistently chose to die on.
I don't know. I think that everybody discriminates. I mean, to say that you don't discriminate
Certainly.
Silly.
Right. It's evolutionary.
You've got certain preferences, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
As far as like
fair
who
enough.
You're going to spend your time with or have sex with, that kind of thing, right?
Right. When I say we shouldn't discriminate, we should give people the opportunity to expand ourselves beyond our discrimination. It's just my personal belief, right?
Is anybody going to say that you should be able that you know, like you should run a business that's so professional that when somebody walks in, your crew doesn't, all over them?
Okay. First of all, we didn't do that. Second of all, humans are sexual beings.
Yeah.
Like, 99% of completely made up statistic.
The boys in the kitchen are going to comment on the
99%,
girls up front. I mean,
so are the girls in the kitchen.
Yeah.
99% of the people who everything humans do is motivated by either a desire to get laid or a desire to have a sandwich after getting laid.
I mean, you guys didn't like catcall her. Right,
no.
Like you weren't in the back going, "Hey, baby." Right?
No, and we didn't stare at her. We were just we gave each other a look and went, "Yeah."
Mm-hmm.
And that was the extent of it. And we even have code words area, like playing on the joke, hot teens in your area or hot milfs in your area. So whenever a hot girl comes in, we go area, and no one knows what we're talking about except other employees, right?
They probably just think they're mispronouncing your name if they, you know. Seen
it. When people say area, I think that a lot because a lot of people do that. But, I mean, it was completely innocuous. We looked, and then someone says, oh, by the way, yeah, she's a sophomore in high school. And we're like, oh, okay, never mind then, right? But it's silly to think of discriminating against people on that grounds because I'm not demanding an ID from anyone before I assess whether or not they're attractive.
What else, Major Payne?
It just seems to me they're trying to pass laws to normalize abnormality, and it's just not right.
Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. I mean, this definitely sounds like a law that is signaling, right? Like it's we're with it. We're inclusive. We're going to include this other group that we don't really need to include, as you pointed out, Aria. It would already be covered under the existing discrimination laws.
I don't like.
I can't imagine any lawmaker is this stupid. I really can't.
Well, it's Connecticut.
Really,
yeah, it is Connecticut.
Voting to not discriminate against. Phobiaphiles and pedophiles?
They didn't necessarily do that. They just said a person's age is not factored into discrimination against sexual orientation. And that makes sense from a logical perspective.
The age that you're sexually attracted to someone is the definition of pedophilia and ephebiophilia. I don't understand how this law could affect someone if they weren't a pedophile or an ephebiophile.
Obviously, right? Yeah, by definition. Well, I mean, I guess if you found it, you know, squick that your employees also dated, like, 70-year-old women, you know, that would be grounds for firing in the absence of this law. It's just expanding what sexual orientation means, and I'm not necessarily opposed to that, because sexual orientation is largely a matter of sexual preferences. Like, if they could ban on the basis of sexual orientation, then they could ban, you know, the white people who date black people, or white people who date Asians, or black people who date Asians, or whatever combination of race and genders or whatever that you want to insert. What is the difference between discrimination against sexual orientation because of the sex of the person that they're attracted to, and the race of the person, or the age of the person, or the religion of the person? To me, these things are already covered by the fact that you can't discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, or age, or race, or religion. Like, what if I got off on being attracted to Muslims? Would that be protected?
Sounds odd. I don't know if it's protected or not, but here's what I'd say is libertarianism.
I guarantee you that's a fetish, though, because they cover themselves and only reveal their eyes. So I guarantee you that Western men are fantasizing about that and fetishizing it. So should they be fired?
I'm sure some are.
I would argue no.
I'm certainly not looking to fire people who like their women wrapped in sackcloth.
That said,
what I would say, however, is that in order to be defined as a libertarian, that we're just talking about consenting acts between adults. And currently...
Define adult.
The government already did.
Okay. Well, I don't take the government's word. Because the government defined what it is allowed to do as 3 million warrantless searches.
By the way, I've got the text of the bill here. It doesn't use the term minor attracted person as the various different alarmist websites are claiming that it does. It's just not in there.
And I want to go on the record as saying that you, as an individual, should almost certainly not date people under the age of 18. For no other reason than that it's not socially acceptable and it will destroy your reputation. There are other reasons, sure, but that's the only reason we really need.
It does do some changes to...
Unless you're under 18.
Discrimination statutes. It adds, apparently, age to the list of protected classes. But I don't know if it's, you know, it doesn't seem to have anything to do specifically. I think these people are just looking at the text of the law and saying, well, this would also be protected. This doesn't seem to be the point of the legislation. It doesn't seem to be, it's not like...
More partisan bull hockey!
Right. Yeah.
That was what I saw.
Yeah.
And I would also add that if you're under the age of 18 and you're dating someone under the age of 18, you should be able to film private pornography with this person and have nude photographs of them without being charged with child pornography.
Well, I'm not going to say should be able to. I would like to see the government not involved. I think that it's worth pointing out that it is completely libertarian to say that the household, the people who pay for the household, get to set the rules. And so if you are living in someone's household and
not paying the bills, like
many 18-year-olds are, I'm just saying what libertarianism...
What you interpret libertarianism to say. But
I do.
Go ahead.
I do, absolutely. And, you know, while
nothing in libertarianism,
you are a free person if you are paying your bills, you are not a free person if you are not paying your bills.
Yeah, that's arguing that 10-year-olds don't have rights, and I just can't get on board with that.
I think that they have rights. I think those rights are limited.
You think they have rights if the person paying their bills chooses to recognize their rights? And that's the sentiment I just can't get on board with, again.
Well, all I can say is that you can't, like, if I'm giving you a free place to live, you're going to have to follow my rules.
That seems reasonable to me.
if they have a choice to live under
your
rule.
That's the other problem.
But, you know, the 10-year-old doesn't. They're born in, they didn't ask to be born, Mark. You created them against their will. And I realize a lot of people struggle with this concept, but not a single person who ever existed asked to be conceived and brought into this world. You may believe that personally, but there's no scientific evidence to prove that such a thing happened. So we have to operate under the assumption that you brought this person into the world against their will, without their consent, without asking their consent, because you can't ask their consent. And then you're oppressing them because they're too weak and too young and too immature to survive on their own. To me, no part of that is okay.
I agree with your premise. I am granting your premise, and I agree with it. Now, I have created someone incompetent at zero years old, right?
Yes.
And we would agree that that person at some point can claim their own competency. Now,
yes.
I am of the opinion that the way one claims one's competency is moving out and paying rent. But they could potentially find some other place to live. Right.
Well, except the law stands in the way of them doing that as well.
It does. I have never used the law to prevent the one person that I have created incompetent. So we can't, like, you know, you said you.
It doesn't matter whether you use the law.
If your son, who's 13, I think.
He's 14 now.
14, were to move out. First of all, no one will hire him. He's not.
What?
No,
very few people.
I had a job at 12.
In a lot of states, you can't get a job. And here in New Hampshire, you're extremely limited in what you can do. We hire some people who are under the 18, and they're not allowed to do basic things like take pizzas out of the oven because that's, quote, operating heavy machinery. Right?
So stupid.
Yeah. But the limitations that they put on people who are under 18, plus they can only work until 9 o'clock at night. They can only work,
right,
like 10 hours a week. It's not enough
to
pay their bills. Their rights are restricted.
What am I obligated to provide, having created this person incompetent? What precisely? Remember that my ancestors had to provide a root or a grub, maybe a hunk of antelope hind quarter or whatever, and that's all they had to provide. Am I obligated to provide what? A car? Private school education? Where's it all point? Where's it all go?
But you're judging competency by the ability to support themselves outside of your household. I would say that they're not a competent adult until they have worn the bullet ant gloves for a total of 20 times, 10 minutes each. Which happens in
bullet ant gloves?
Yeah, some South African tribe or South American tribe, they take these bullet ants because they're called that because getting stung feels like a bullet sting, and they weave them into these gloves and they make you wear them on your hands for 10 minutes and dance around and do the pain, and that's your right into manhood.
Damn.
Right. So Mark, your right into manhood is moving out and paying your own bills. But different people, different cultures, even within the United States, have different rights about what constitutes manhood. I don't think that you can have your right about what constitutes manhood, but that isn't universally true.
I make a distinction between being a man and being an adult.
It's just two ways of saying the same thing.
It's not exactly for me, but I do make a distinction for myself, and I'll just make the point that Jack was, I went through his manhood ceremony at 12 years old. I said, you're a man now, but you won't be an adult until you can take care of yourself.
Why was he a man at 12 years old in your book?
Because the only way to do a thing is to start doing a thing.
So he didn't accomplish something, and you're like, all right, now you're a man. That you turned 12, and now you're a man, is what you said?
Right. Well, he didn't. It wasn't a ceremony in which one could fail.
This is why they had the bullet ant gloves, Mark.
I understand the bullet ant gloves. I would never do that. That sounds like child abuse.
I've seen some videos. It's absolutely child abuse. But,
they
have all those religious trappings wrapped around that justify, this brings them closer to nature. It infuses their bodies with the power of the jungle, and it makes them better warriors.
And it should be a bullet ant condom.
Oh, my God.
Mark, don't say things like that.
Let's go to the phones here. I got Sam in Ohio on the line. Sam, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on what he's saying, the fact that the manhood and adulthood, I would argue they are the same thing.
Okay.
And I would also argue that...
Argue away.
The state has mixed up if it's 18 or 21. They're not clear really which it is.
Okay. Well, they'll let you go to a rated R movie at 17. They'll let you drive a 3,000-pound death machine at 16.
But you can't buy a beer until you're 21, even though you can go serve in our military at 18.
Yep, that's right. There is no consistency.
I think we can all agree that age is a terrible metric for this.
I don't think it's a terrible metric. I think it is an insufficient metric.
Okay.
How does that make any sense, that you can die and you can't choose what to put in your body until after you're able to die?
No, it doesn't make sense.
From what I've seen is that people in the military can absolutely get alcohol, and that the places will even serve them alcohol out in public.
Okay, but you know what he's saying, Mark. And
I do.
The fact is, most places aren't going to serve him alcohol, even though he says he's with the military, because they're not willing to risk a potential undercover sting operation to snatch them up for violating the alcohol laws in their states.
In the United Kingdom, you only have to be 18 to buy alcohol.
In Canada, you only have to be 18.
Oh, I think that you... I remember them talking when I was a kid about being upset that 16-year-olds couldn't drink in pubs. I think you can buy alcohol at 16, but you cannot consume it in the UK.
Hmm.
In public. At least that's the way I think it was at one point. I mean, I haven't, you know.
Regardless, the 21 issue that America uses is arbitrary and pointless.
Yep.
And
I think the reason they do it is because some kids turn 19 in high school, and they didn't want, and that they had problems with 19-year-olds buying 18 and unders alcohol.
But buying them cigarettes is fine.
What's that, Tim?
Let the free market do it. The 17-year-old wants to buy a beer. The 19-year-old's willing to sell them the beer at three times or four times the price. Let them do it.
Well, look, the free market would be a much better situation because, as we've seen in European countries, when younger people are allowed to drink at younger ages with parental involvement, for instance, they tend to be more responsible drinkers because, you know, if you're 12 or something and you are out with your parents at a restaurant and you're able to have a beer, it's not like this big scary thing to them. It's not a prohibited forbidden fruit thing. They can have a beer if they want to have a beer. They can have two if their parents say it's fine. And then they can experience what it's like to be a little bit tipsy and do it in a safe place where their parents are
wake
home.
Up with a headache.
I did
whatever.
All of my stupid risky drinking at friends' houses and at my own house, right, where I was completely safe and I wasn't going to get into trouble and I wasn't going to do anything too terribly stupid. And adults were there to make sure, you know, I didn't die.
Yeah, that's a sensible way to do things. Unfortunately, a lot of young people are forced into the underground. They're forced into high school parties where it's incredibly dangerous as far as, you know, the people that are around. They're not learning appropriately in the American environment. And thank you, Sam, for the call tonight. Unfortunately, I don't think there are any proposals to lower the drinking age in the United States. If anything, we're seeing ages being raised, like the smoking age is now 21 instead of 18.
Is that across the U.S.?
It is now across the entire U.S. More coming up here in moments. You can join the show. It's Free Talk Live.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will officially become a candidate for the Republican presidential nomination tomorrow night when he joins Elon Musk on Twitter.
We'll be interviewing Ron DeSantis, and he has quite an announcement to make.
Musk says the announcement will also feature live, unscripted questions. Musk has already said he supports DeSantis over former President Trump. A second IRS whistleblower is raising concerns about how the investigation into President Biden's son Hunter is being handled. The New York Post says the new whistleblower is a special agent in the IRS Financial Crimes Group. He claims he was ousted from the case after questioning the DOJ. There are fewer HIV infections in the U.S., according to the CDC. The agency reported today that the United States saw just over 3,200 new HIV infections in 2021. That is a 12% drop from 2017. John Schaefer, USA News.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here if you want. The number for you to dial in is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, Coinbase suing the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. We'll talk about that. Mark wants to weigh in on saving AM radio through government mandate. And, of course, if you want to weigh in here, again, the number is 603-283-6160. Porcupine Real Estate. You've heard a lot about us discussing New Hampshire and the liberty migration here of thousands of like-minded, liberty-oriented people coming here to New Hampshire. But where do you get started? How do you find housing up here? How do you move to the free state? What are the best practices for that? Those are some of the topics they're going to be discussing at Porcupine Real Estate's upcoming host of webinars that they're going to be having, including topics like gun freedoms, medical freedoms, political freedom victories. They're going to focus on some of the real cool things happening here in New Hampshire, some of the success stories that we've had so far in the last two decades that this migration has been going on. You can register for attending these webinars. They are free and they're super helpful. You can go to move.freetalklive.com. That's a forwarding URL. It'll take you right over to the Porcupine Real Estate website where you'll be on the registration page for the upcoming webinars, and you can get signed up there. If you want to see what they've already done, you can see their previous presentations over on their YouTube channel, which is called Porcupine Real Estate. But go ahead and get signed up for the upcoming ones. You'll be able to ask questions of experts, people who have moved here. Most of them, I think, are Free State Project participants. These are people that know the community. They know the ground. They know the housing market. Move.freetalklive.com. Get signed up over there. Let's go to the phones here with Frank in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Aria, and Mark.
Hey there. I wanted to go back a little bit to the conversation about the parent and the child and the rights of the child. And I missed part of it, but I found myself agreeing with Mark and what he had to say, which is if I'm supporting someone, particularly a minor, then I'm going to have rules and for that person to live with me. But I just want to make sure I understand Aria's position on this. Could you restate your position?
I don't necessarily have a position. I tend to think that relying on sort of hard and fast guidelines on these sorts of things is the wrong way to approach it, and that each situation has to be judged individually on its own merits and under its own circumstances.
That seems to be a pullback from what you said before, Aria. My understanding of what you said was that young people have rights, and they should have the right to emancipate themselves if they want to.
Yes, I would absolutely still agree with that, yes.
I agree that young people have the right to emancipate themselves. I would like to have a conversation with any of them that I know and love before they do such a foolish thing, but I believe they have that right.
Indeed. What do you think, Frank?
Well, I don't think that there's such thing as rights, technically. You know, it's a nice concept and a nice idea, but a right is only as good as what the other person will recognize. I have a right to not be murdered, but if I come up against somebody who wants to kill me, then what good are the rights?
I get what you're saying. I mean, rights are just an idea. You're correct about that. They're a universal idea that is a good idea, and they should be respected universally, but yes, there are psychopaths out there that don't care about your rights, and they are more than happy to violate them.
Yeah, rights don't inherently reinforce themselves. However, they are meant solely to draw our boundaries and let people know where our boundaries are and what we deem acceptable and unacceptable.
If everybody's going to weigh in on this, I'm going to go ahead and weigh in, too. Rights are a function of ownership, and I own myself, therefore I have rights to me. I own a car. Well, I don't actually own a car. I sold mine. But if I owned a car, I'd have the right to get in and drive around, and someone else wouldn't have the right to get in and drive around. And that's why I say they're a function of ownership. It's easiest to understand that. Ownership can't be touched. It doesn't exist. And if somebody decides to steal your car, what good is your ownership?
I would agree that that's a great concept, and that would be nice if that was the case. But, it's not the case. And I want everybody to have rights, but they don't exist. So, I mean, you're walking in a forest and a lion's coming at you, and you say, I have a right not to be bothered by you.
Humans are different, though, because we can come to an agreement.
And you're also trespassing in that lion's territory. Well, it has the right to claim that territory.
Well, no, I mean, animals don't have rights in the same way that we do. Because rights are an agreement. You can argue all you want, but the lion's still going to slash your guts out, and it's no more its territory than it is 15 other animals' territory as well. There may be some wolves on that particular plot of land as well.
And it chooses to allow them to remain.
Or maybe the wolves are allowing it to remain. I don't know, but there's no agreement between any of these things that we can identify, at least. We're not aware of them being able to communicate interspecies, and we certainly have our limited ability to communicate interspecies with them. Rights are a human agreement that people have come to over time because it benefits us. We can see how the right to property, for instance, that concept benefits us. There are some humans that claim they don't believe in property. We shouldn't be living with those people. They're called communists. For those of us that understand the idea of property rights, we can see how it helps people to be able to own things and then to be able to build from the things that they own and benefit from or sell those things and, make life better for all of us. So while I see what you're saying, Frank, that rights don't actually exist, they do exist in the idea form, in an idea that we should all be respecting of one another, don't you think?
I think so to a certain degree, but then again, I mean, where's this contract that everybody signed?
It's not a contract. It's an unspoken agreement.
It's an unspoken agreement, which is not real. And I'm kind of getting a little bit off the topic there with the children, because
But I think most people believe in rights.
And the thing about the unspoken agreement, the difference between the social contract is that the unspoken agreement doesn't require you to actually do anything. It just prohibits you from doing certain things that are aggression and that violate other people's rights. But it doesn't require you
negative rights
to pay taxes or any of that nonsense.
Just leave people alone. That's the only requirement, right? What else, Frank?
Well, I mean, that's the way I live my life. But I mean, for the most part,
okay.
Everybody, you know.
So you're respecting the rights of other people, even though you don't actually believe in rights.
Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it.
So we're on the same page.
I think we are. Just because I don't think that they actually exist doesn't mean I'm out.
I don't think they do either. But I believe that people should acknowledge and live by those concepts.
I think so, too. And the main one is the non-aggression principle, which is, I mean, if you do that, then you've got it 90% licked. So
I'd say that's true.
So why does it matter whether or not rights are real if it's important for people to recognize each other's rights?
Well, because I'm a parent, and if I have a child, that child doesn't have any rights, and I'm going to be in control of what happens to that child and what that child does if it lives in my household.
Well, you're just not recognizing that child's rights.
Like,
if I didn't recognize your rights...
100%. I'm not going to recognize the child's rights.
When do you decide to do that?
But if people decided not to recognize your rights, they have just as much authority and right to do that as you do the child's.
Well, yeah, they do. And I could... choose not to associate with those people or protect myself for them. Absolutely.
When do you feel like the child that is in your home becomes its own person who you don't get to control anymore?
Well, like I think what Mark said, which I agree with, is when they're ready to handle their own life financially and otherwise.
This children as property thing, man, I just cannot get on board with it.
It's not children as property.
It is literally children as property.
Children use us in modern society as slaves. I work for the perpetuation of my family.
Okay, the child.
My family doesn't work for the perpetuation of me.
Again, the child didn't choose that, Mark. You brought that child into the world.
I'm freaking livestock. You said children as property, and I'm rebutting that.
No, children aren't
property.
You're rebutting it incorrectly, though, because that child didn't choose.
You've been in any house that
has
kids, and show me the
Mark, you're shouting
aspect.
So loud, your mic is cutting out, dude.
You're also not letting me finish a statement. Your fundamental argument is flawed. The child did not ask to be brought into this world and to be powerless at the age of one. You made those decisions on behalf. You forced that child into that situation. By doing that, you took on the responsibility. You're not that child's slaves. You have a responsibility to yourself and to your own actions and things that you have done that forcefully brought that child into the world.
And I can make agreements with that child, and that child wants to live above subsistence level, because you have not yet stated what I owe that kid. Like, I'd say I owe vegetables, a roof of some sort, or somebody who will provide that. And believe me, America is chock full of people who will take a kid from you. Now, what their life's going to be like after that, I don't know.
If that was true, the orphanages wouldn't be filled up.
There are no orphanages in America. Okay. Not one.
Okay.
They don't exist. There's a foster home program.
Usually. Christ, that's pedantic, even for you.
I just didn't know what you were talking about. There aren't any orphanages.
Frank, in the United States, there are definitely some orphanages.
Most people in the foster program have been taken by the government from their family, and for better or for worse, want to go back.
Frank, did you want to weigh in with any other thoughts?
Just real quick. I mean, I have yet to disagree with Mark at all tonight on this topic. I think he's nailed it.
Super genius.
I did bring this child in, and I'm responsible for the child, and I'm going to take care of the child, and I'm going to have rules that the child's going to have to follow. That's just it.
And you should. I agree with the point that if you are taking care of someone, they are your ward to some extent until they're ready to move on, until they're ready to move out on their own. But as Aria pointed out, correctly so, the law the legal system essentially prevents them from doing so up until this arbitrary point where they're 18 years old. Now, Mark says he doesn't care. His son can move out if he wants to. Well, yeah, good luck finding somebody who's going to rent you an apartment or rent you a house under the age of 18. What?
There's all kinds of people. What about his grandparents? Don't you think there's a half a dozen people right now in Keene, New Hampshire that would give Jack a place to stay and that every single one of them would have a set of rules
Jack
that he
doesn't
would have to abide?
Jack doesn't have the opportunities and resources that the average 14-year-old or 13-year-old, 15, I've already forgotten how old
15,
it was.
15.
I mean, most 15-year-olds aren't part of the Liberty community and don't have a millionaire dad.
First of all, there's going to be rules wherever you go. The landlord is going to have rules if he's willing to rent to you, but most landlords are not even going to look twice at an application from someone who's 16 or 15 or 17. They're just going to say, nope, that's not even an option.
Isn't that their option?
It's probably a legal concern that they have, that they don't have the age of majority, and so therefore they cannot legally sign a contract, which would mean that you would not be able to be bound, those young people would not be able to be bound by their own signature on something legally. That is the reason why a bank will not let you go in and open an account. That is the reason why a landlord will not let you rent a piece of property if you're under the age of 18, unless you're coming in with loads of cash and you're literally bribing the guy to do that.
That's a bribe to put in down a...
What's that, Frank?
And that's one of the reasons why if my daughter came to me at 14 and said, hey, I'm going to move out on my own and make my own way in life, I would absolutely not allow it. And you can call me a tyrant or whatever you want to call me, but that's not going to happen. And part of the reason is because of...
Again, children's property.
And the government and the rules about this person, a 14-year-old can't survive on their own. And my decision
they used
is
to.
That they're
yeah.
going to be better off living with me. And if I'm a tyrant or, you know, whatever you want to call me for making my daughter at 14 stay and live with me, well, so be it, because I'm going to take care of that child until I determine they're ready to move on.
And so you decide that property should be free?
You could put it that way.
Yeah.
I think that girls have opportunities that are different than what boys have, and I haven't run across this, having one 15-year-old son. But I would hope that the people that love your daughter would give them the best, would give her the best advice, and which is, you really need to stay here because life, as frustrated as you might be with normal life, it's a lot better here than it is elsewhere. Now, there are the edge cases. Aria, there are the edge cases of people that live terrible lives in their teens.
Yeah, but you're changing the subject. We're getting away from the concept of children's rights here. If children don't have rights, then it's okay for you to beat your child. End of story. Right?
I didn't claim
that. No, I don't agree with that.
Okay, so the child has the right to not be beaten.
Rights don't exist, but I don't beat my children.
That's not what I asked. I didn't ask if you were willing to beat your children. It means that you can. You have every right, if you want to beat your children. Right? Is that correct?
No.
Why not?
Because I believe in the non-aggression principle.
But children don't have rights,
regardless,
so they don't have the right to not have aggression used against them.
It doesn't matter what the other person's rights are or not.
So
the
you
way
respect
I live my life is by a code. It doesn't matter if it's my child, a minor, a 2-year-old, a 67-year-old.
Okay, well, then let's take it away from you and take it to someone who isn't a libertarian. This is some 40-year-old man. He's angry. He's an alcoholic. He's a cop. He beats his 12-year-old daughter.
Yeah, that's a horrible thing.
He has every right to do that, right?
Nope.
Why not? It's his daughter.
Because that person, they should be living by the non-aggression principle.
But that's not
what everybody believes in the non-aggression principle.
Well, everybody should.
Well, everybody should agree with rights as well, but they don't.
Exactly.
No, you can't say exactly when I'm countering your argument.
I don't think you are.
Then the child has rights. If everyone should adhere to the non-aggression principle and he's doing something wrong by not adhering to it, then the child has the right to not be aggressed against.
Well, I'm, like I said, you tell that to
It sounds like Frank believes in rights without admitting that he believes in
rights. That's what I'm trying to get at, yes. Thank you.
In which, you know, whatever it takes, I'm glad that you believe in rights to some extent, Frank, but you don't believe that your own children have rights or that they should be able to take care of themselves until you decide that it's time, right?
That's about right, yeah.
Okay. And you'll know based on what?
Well, I'll know based on their life and how things are going.
Okay. So you just know it when you see it, right? Like, okay, you've been holding down a job. Okay, now you can have a boyfriend or whatever, and you've got, you know, you don't need my attention as often, so now I'm going to let you move out of the house. It's going to be something like that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
And to be fair, Frank, I'm mostly playing devil's advocate here. I don't really have a position beyond that children have some kind of rights that generally aren't recognized in society. I wouldn't attempt to delineate those rights or say what those rights are because I just don't know. I don't have kids anyway, so it's kind of immaterial. I use conversations like this to more flesh out exactly where I stand, and this has been helpful to that end. But when I disagree with you, it's not because I'm like trying to actively disagree with you. I'm just trying to flesh out these ideas in my own head.
100%. Everybody has an opinion.
Thanks for the call tonight, Frank. I appreciate it. We had an issue technically here. I don't know if... Mark, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm right here. Can you
okay.
hear me?
Yeah, there's something wrong with your video, man.
It's probably...
I turned it off.
Yeah. Huh. Something went wrong over here, unfortunately.
I don't know if it's you guys or me. Aria, so I've got a question.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't get to hear the whole conversation, but as far as... you were making an interesting point. If a being doesn't have rights, and I can't come up with a being that doesn't have rights right now, but how about a pig?
Okay.
I'm going to say a pig doesn't have rights. It can't recognize itself in the mirror. If you can't recognize yourself, I don't think you have rights. Okay. That's just my opinion. So the pig doesn't have rights. I have the right to kill it when I wish, use it for meat, things like that.
See, I don't necessarily agree with that.
I know you don't. I don't want to talk about you and your beliefs on pigs' rights. I think that you make great points on it. I think I want to talk about the great point you were making as far as kids. Now, you were saying that if kids don't have rights, you can kill and eat them if that's what you want to do. Clearly a taboo subject. But my question would be this, is can someone have partial rights? And when do they get rights? Do they get rights the moment of birth? Do people who have IQs below 50, I know they exist, do they have rights? I just don't know the answer to all these questions. I do agree kids have rights, and I think they have the right to be free from arbitrary beatings. But I think I would agree with
this concept of partial rights. I think that's probably a good place to start. But again, you know, that was why I said to Frank, I wouldn't attempt to delineate what rights I think children have versus what rights I think the parent has to restrict the child's access to things. Because obviously, like, you can't allow a three-year-old to run away and try to find their own place in the world, right? You literally can't allow that. It's a death sentence. So there is some point at which a parent has to make a decision that is for the best of the child while fully disregarding whatever the child wishes in that particular moment. I can't delineate exactly where those lines are, and I don't think we should.
What you said reminded me of one of the most terrifying experiences. I have bad dreams about this, is... One day we were out in Westmoreland, New Hampshire. The whole family was out. I was doing things with my pigs, and mom was doing things in the garden. And Jack disappeared down the driveway with our dog, Honey. I saw them go just as they were turning down that's a 440-foot long driveway headed towards Route 12, which is a relatively busy road.
And this is a dream, right?
No, this was a reality.
Sorry, I misunderstood that you said you had nightmares about it.
But I have this as a bad dream. I wake up, what could have happened? Jack wouldn't listen, and he was probably 3 years old, right? He wouldn't stop and turn around or anything like that. And I'd use circumstances like this on the air to talk about how I would accept spanking under the most extreme of circumstances. And You know, I'm yelling and yelling, and finally he gets down within, I don't want to exaggerate, 15 feet of the highway. The dog kind of, you know, just gets in front of him and stops him from going any further. And, you know, I get down there, I pick him up, I, you know, run him up the driveway. I don't have any, you know, there's no thought of beating this child over this. I'm just like, you cannot do that. And obviously, I don't know whether he's, you know, I don't know what he knows or doesn't know. He never did it again. But, you know, he certainly spent a long time listening to me talk about how upset I was. And it was just a terrifying experience. And every parent right now knows they had a circumstance like this.
Yeah, a few weeks ago we had a caller call in who mentioned that the only time he ever spanked his child was when his child, you know, when they were playing in the front yard, tried getting into the street. The ultimate counter that Nikki brought up that I agree with entirely was that all of this could have been avoided if the child was 4 years old or something at that time. If repeatedly, as that child was growing up, the parent had pointed out, you know, stressed to the child not to play in the street. So the adult ran out there and he grabbed the child and he spanked him and brought him back into the yard. And he's like, that was the only time it was ever okay. But like, no, it still could have all been avoided. And I use the example of my dog who got off her run repeatedly and would never even leave the backyard and certainly would never run out into the street. And it was because, not because I had communicated with her, but she knew what I expected of her and what was and wasn't a good idea. In the same way that 4-year-old child could have understood if they had been told every single week for the last 2 years how one doesn't play in traffic. Like, just every time they get into the vehicle, like, never run out into the street. Remember that? Then that could have easily prevented that 4-year-old from trying to run out into the street. I don't know if it would have worked, right? But that didn't happen, so we'll never know. And it seems like there would be ways to have prevented that scenario from even happening that could have mitigated the need for spanking.
I think that libertarians, because of our attachment to the non-aggression principle, probably spend a lot of time thinking about spanking. And there's been a lot of abuse in the name of spanking. I'm certainly not going to claim that otherwise. But I think we spend a lot of time thinking and talking about spanking that doesn't really enter the average child's mind. You know,
sure.
That's my theory on the subject. Jack hasn't been spanked, but so what? It doesn't make him perfect. He's not an angel. It's nothing.
Well, I think spanking is teaching kids that violence solves problems. And
violence does solve problems.
That's not a good lesson.
It changes problems. It modifies them into different problems.
It also changes people's brains as well. It changes your
That's a different conversation.
Physiology. There's more coming up here. Hour number 3 is on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.